All right, imagine this. You're a doctor, and there's a medical crisis. So you rush to help, right? Seems heroic, right? But hold on. What if all this is happening inside a hospital? I mean, is that doctor still considered a good Samaritan?
Well, that's the million-dollar question that this Utah Supreme Court case, HRPA v. IHC Hospitals, really forces us to think about.
Yeah, and we've gotten a ton of requests from our listeners to break this one down. So let's dive right into this fascinating legal puzzle.
It's interesting because this case isn't just your typical medical malpractice situation. It really digs into the whole concept of legal protection for medical professionals, even within a hospital setting.
Right. So let's start by setting the scene for everyone listening. We're dealing with a really tragic situation involving a mother, Yishi Wardafa, who was in labor at Logan Regional Hospital. And sadly, she starts having complications. And even with her obstetrician, Dr. Mortensen, right there, things just get worse.
Yeah.
And eventually, a code blue is called.
And that code blue is really important because it brings Dr. Danes into the picture. And this is where things get legally tricky. See, Dr. Danes wasn't Wardoff's assigned doctor. He wasn't on call, and they'd never even met before. He was the hospital's medical director. But that brings up the question, was he even required to respond to that code blue?
Exactly. And it's a crucial question in this whole case. So Dr. Dane steps in to help, but sadly, Wardafa passes away just 17 minutes later. Now, her husband, Hale Herpa, files a lawsuit, not just against the hospital, but also against Dr. Danes personally. And here's where it gets interesting. I think most people know about Good Samaritan laws, like those that protect someone who helps out at, say, a car accident. But does that protection still apply inside a hospital, a place where you'd expect to find paid professionals?
That's the heart of what the court had to decide. Does that typical idea of a good Samaritan, someone who's basically a volunteer, does that even make sense within a hospital where, you know, you have doctors with specific duties and responsibilities? Can a doctor working in a hospital ever truly be just a volunteer in these situations?
That's a great question. So break down the legal arguments for us. What were the main points made by both sides?
Sure. HRPA's lawsuit. It basically claimed that Dr. Danes was negligent in his care of Wardafa, and therefore, you know, he should be held responsible. Dr. Danes, on the other hand, countered by saying he was immune under Utah's Good Samaritan Act. His argument, he was simply acting as a volunteer when he responded to the code blue.
Hold on a sec. Let's make sure everyone's on the same page about this Good Samaritan Act. Can you give us like a super simple explanation of what this law is actually about?
Okay. Imagine it as a safety net. Legally speaking, for people who do the right thing. It's there to encourage people to help out in emergencies without being afraid of lawsuits if they accidentally make a mistake. The basic message is, we want people to help without constantly worrying about getting sued if everything doesn't go perfectly.
Okay, that logic makes sense. We definitely want people to feel comfortable helping others. But, you know, we're talking about a hospital, a place where you have professionals specifically trained and paid to deal with emergencies. Does that change things?
You're hitting on a really important point, and this is where the whole idea of a pre-existing duty comes in. So the question becomes, did Dr. Danes, just by being medical director, already have a duty to respond to this code blue? If he did, the Good Samaritan Act wouldn't protect him.
So how did the court go about deciding whether he had this pre-existing duty or not?
They looked at all the details. Was Dr. Danes officially on call? Did his contract with the hospital obligate him to respond to these types of emergencies? Did the hospital have rules that required him to intervene? And maybe most importantly, was there already a doctor-patient relationship between Dr. Danes and Wardafa?
So basically, they wanted to figure out if Dr. Danes was just doing his regular job or if he was truly going above and beyond.
Exactly. And after considering everything, the Utah Supreme Court said that in this specific instance, Dr. Danes did not have a pre-existing duty to respond to this code blue.
Wait, really? Even as the medical director?
Even as the medical director, they basically said that just being employed by a hospital doesn't mean you're obligated to respond to every single emergency. They emphasized that, you know, his role as medical director didn't specifically say he had to respond to every code blue. And since he wasn't word off as assigned doctor and he wasn't on call, they concluded that in this case, he was acting as a volunteer.
Wow, that's a big ruling. I mean, it feels like this could have a major impact on how doctors handle emergencies within a hospital.
Absolutely. This decision basically sets a precedent in Utah. It's saying that if doctors choose to help in emergencies, even if they're not technically required to, they can be protected by the Good Samaritan Act.
I can see how that would encourage doctors to be proactive. But doesn't it also create some worries about accountability? Could this lead to doctors avoiding responsibility by claiming they were just being good Samaritans?
That's a valid concern, and it's something that was brought up during the case. In fact, Herpa, the husband who filed the lawsuit, argued that the Good Samaritan Act, if it's applied this broadly, could actually go against the Utah Constitution.
Okay, now things are getting really interesting. What exactly was Herpa's argument about the Constitution?
His argument focused on the open courts provision of the Utah Constitution. Basically, this provision makes sure everyone has the right to use the justice system to address their grievances. Herpa's point was that by making it harder to sue doctors who are acting as good Samaritans, the act might be taking away people's right to hold medical professionals accountable for their actions.
So he's saying the Good Samaritan Act, even with its good intentions, might actually create obstacles for people who are seeking justice after being harmed due to negligence.
That's the essence of it. It's like he's saying, look, I get that you want doctors to help, but you can't do that if it means sacrificing people's basic right to seek justice in court.
It's a strong point. What did the court say about this constitutional challenge?
The Utah Supreme Court really thought carefully about Herpa's argument, but they ultimately disagreed with how he was interpreting it. They clarified that the Good Samaritan Act doesn't completely block lawsuits against doctors. It doesn't give them total immunity. What it does do is raise the bar for what you need to prove to win a lawsuit.
So, practically speaking, what would someone need to prove to hold a doctor accountable if that doctor is saying they were protected by the Good Samaritan Act?
Usually in a medical malpractice case, you need to show the doctor was negligent. That means they didn't act in a way that's considered the standard for their profession and that negligence caused harm to the patient. But when the Good Samaritan Act applies, you'd have to prove something much more serious, gross negligence.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand the difference between regular negligence and gross negligence. Can you give us an example?
Let's say a surgeon accidentally nicks a blood vessel during a routine operation. That could be considered negligence, like an honest mistake that could happen to any good surgeon. Now, picture a surgeon who shows up to surgery drunk and operates on the wrong patient. That's more like gross negligence, a total disregard for the patient's safety that goes way beyond just a simple mistake.
Got it. So the court's saying the Good Samaritan Act doesn't mean doctors can just be careless. It protects them from being sued for simple mistakes, not for reckless or intentionally harmful actions.
You got it. And the court made it super clear that this higher standard of proof, this gross negligence thing, it fits with the whole purpose of the Good Samaritan Act, which is to encourage helping without being scared of legal consequences. It's like they're saying, we're not trying to stop people from getting justice. We just want to make sure that good intentions are protected.
So this Utah Supreme Court case really dives into some complicated legal territory. It's all about finding that balance between protecting doctors and making sure they're accountable for their actions. We've talked about the background of the case, the arguments on both sides, and how the court reached its decision. But what does it all mean for everyday people? What are the real-world consequences of this ruling? That's what we'll explore when we come back for part two of this deep dive.
Stay tuned. We'll be talking about the wider implications of this case and how it fits into the bigger picture of medical liability and this whole Good Samaritan Act. We're also going to look at another case that offers a completely different perspective on all of this, so stick around. So, welcome back to our deep dive into this whole idea of the Good Samaritan Act, especially when it comes to, you know, handling those really tough medical emergencies in hospitals. We've been talking about the Herpa case in Utah, which, like we said, really kind of stretched how the Good Samaritan Act can apply in hospitals. But now let's switch gears. Let's head over to Pennsylvania, where there was a totally different legal battle dealing with the same questions, but they came to a completely opposite conclusion.
Okay, so we're going to hear about a case where the court went the other way,
right?
Like they basically said, nope, the Good Samaritan Act doesn't have as much power in a hospital setting.
Exactly. That's the case of DeLeo v. Nugent. And it's fascinating because it's like the flip side of that Utah case. Utah said, yeah, more protection for Good Samaritans, but here, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, they took a much stricter view. They really emphasized those professional duties that doctors have when they're working in a hospital.
Got it. So before we get into the details of DeLeo, can we just quickly go over Pennsylvania's Good Samaritan Act? Is it like similar to Utah's in what it's trying to do and how it's written?
Yeah, at their core, they're both trying to do the same thing, encourage people to help out in emergencies by offering them some legal protection if they're acting in good faith. They both want to get rid of that fear of getting sued that might stop someone from helping out when it's really needed. But as we'll see, the way these two states' courts actually applied the law in hospitals, well, that's where things go in very different directions.
All right, I'm ready to hear about this contrasting case. What went down in DeLeo v. Nugent? Give us the rundown.
Okay, so picture this. You're in the hospital. You're getting a sleep study done, and suddenly you can't breathe. Scary, right? Could even be life-threatening. Now, there's a doctor in the hospital, just happens to be there, not involved in your sleep study at all, but he sees what's happening and rushes over to help.
That sounds pretty similar to what happened in Utah, right? This doctor seems like he's acting as a good Samaritan, just like Dr. Danes.
Yeah, you're right to make that connection, but here's where things take a turn. In DeLeo, the patient, Joseph DeLeo, is the one having these breathing problems during his sleep study. Dr. Nugent, who was at the hospital but not part of DeLeo's care team, he sees the emergency and tries to help.
So he saw someone in trouble and stepped in. That's pretty straightforward. Why wouldn't he be protected by the Good Samaritan Act?
Well, that's the question that took this case all the way to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And their answer might surprise you. They said, nope. Dr. Nugent is not protected by the Good Samaritan Act here. And their reasoning. It boils down to this idea that because he was a physician working in that hospital, he already had a duty to provide care in emergencies, no matter if he was officially assigned to that patient or not.
Whoa, that's a huge difference from what the Utah Supreme Court said. Why did the Pennsylvania court go in such a different direction? What was their logic?
They really put a lot of weight on what they called the inherent professional obligations of being a doctor. They basically said that because doctors have all this training and ethical responsibilities, they have a higher duty of care than the average person. And this elevated duty, it applies even when they're not officially on duty or assigned to a specific patient.
So even though Dr. Nugent wasn't technically responsible for Mr. DeLeo at that moment, the court felt that just being a doctor in that hospital meant he had to respond to emergencies, whether it was his job right then or not.
Exactly. It's like they were saying, look, you're a doctor, you're in a hospital where people's lives are literally on the line. Patients are counting on you to be there when things go wrong, whether you're clocked in or not.
Yeah, I get that. It would be scary if doctors could just avoid responsibility by saying, oh, I wasn't working, so it's not my problem. It seems like that could be really dangerous.
For sure. And the Pennsylvania court, they even admitted that their decision might make some doctors think twice about helping if they're not specifically required to. But they argued that protecting patient safety and holding doctors accountable for their expertise, that was more important.
So they're saying patient safety and making sure doctors are responsible for their actions, that trumps the possibility that some doctors might be a bit less willing to volunteer.
Exactly. They basically said doctors are trained to handle these situations, and patients deserve a certain level of care when they're in a hospital, no matter who's around when an emergency happens. It's like we can't have a system where doctors just choose when they want to do their job.
And it's interesting how the Pennsylvania court made a distinction between what they called true Good Samaritan situations and those that happen inside a hospital.
Right. They said things like helping out at a car accident. That's different from what happens in a hospital where there are all these professional duties and patient expectations. Hospitals, just by their nature, create different responsibilities for doctors, according to them.
Okay, so we've got these two state Supreme Courts, both looking at Good Samaritan laws that are supposed to encourage people to help, but they apply these laws in totally opposite ways when it comes to hospitals. What does this tell us about the legal landscape surrounding this whole issue?
Well, it shows that there's no one consistent way that courts look at the Good Samaritan Act, especially when it comes to hospitals. It really depends on the specifics of the case, where it happened, and how the court understands the law and what it's trying to do.
So for lawyers, doctors, even patients, what does this mean? It seems like there's a lot of uncertainty here.
It definitely underscores the need to get good legal advice to figure out these complicated situations. For medical professionals, it's crucial to know the laws in your state and how they work with your hospital's policies. And for patients, it's about knowing your rights and when to get help if you think those rights have been violated.
This is fascinating, but it's kind of mind-blowing how two courts looking at similar cases and laws can end up with such different conclusions.
Right.
Is there any way to make sense of these rulings that seem to contradict each other?
While making sense of them might be tough because they represent different ways of thinking about balancing those competing interests. the Utah court was all about protecting volunteering and encouraging doctors to step up even when they don't have to. The Pennsylvania court, they were focused on making sure doctors uphold their professional duty and that patients are protected in a hospital setting.
So it's not necessarily that one court is right and the other is wrong. It's more like they have different priorities and look at the law through different lenses.
Exactly. Both courts are trying to use the law in a way that benefits the people they serve, but they go about it in different ways.
Okay, so what's the takeaway for everyone listening? What should they do if they're in a situation where they're not sure about their legal protections?
The most important thing to remember is that the Good Samaritan Act, even with its good intentions, can be really tricky to understand in real life, especially in hospitals. Don't make assumptions. If you're a doctor, learn the specific laws in your state and get legal advice to understand your risks in different situations. And if you're a patient, know your rights and when to seek legal help if you're worried about your care.
We've just gone on a deep dive into a super complex and sometimes confusing area of law. We've just scratched the surface, but we're out of time for this segment. Stay with us, though, because in part three, we'll look at some other things to consider and some potential solutions that might help address all this ambiguity and inconsistency we've been talking about. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've spent the last two parts really digging into this whole Good Samaritan Act, especially how it works or doesn't work, you know, in hospitals. It's been a wild ride, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've looked at two cases, remember? HRPA over in Utah and then DeLeo in Pennsylvania. And the courts in those cases, they came to totally different conclusions about whether the act protected those doctors who jumped in during emergencies, even when those patients weren't technically theirs.
Yeah, it's like we've been watching a legal tug of war.
Mm.
Different states pulling in completely opposite directions. Utah is all about expanding those Good Samaritan protections. But then Pennsylvania goes and takes a super strict approach, really hitting hard on that whole idea of a doctor's duty to care no matter what.
And right at the center of all this, there's this fundamental tension, right? How do you balance encouraging doctors to act fast in emergencies without being afraid of getting sued? But at the same time, you got to make sure patients are getting good care and that someone's held accountable when things go south. It's a tough one. No easy answers here.
Yeah, no kidding. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's time to shift gears. Let's talk solutions. What can we do to address all this ambiguity and make this Good Samaritan Act, especially in hospitals, you know, clearer and more effective? How do we untangle this whole legal mess?
Well, one way, and this might be the simplest, is to just make the law itself clearer. State legislatures, they could go in and amend their Good Samaritan Act so they specifically address how it works in hospitals, give more concrete guidance instead of leaving it to the courts to figure out these vague laws case by case.
So instead of judges trying to sort it out after something's already happened, lawmakers could step in and give clearer definitions, right? Lay down the rules of the game. I like that proactive approach.
Exactly. Like, they could clarify what pre-existing duty actually means in a hospital. They could consider things like, is the doctor employed there? Are they on call? What are the hospital's policies? What kind of emergency was it?
That makes a lot of sense. If everyone knows the rules beforehand, you know, up front, there's less confusion. And those gray areas we've been talking about, they start to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
What about other solutions? Anything else we should be looking at?
Oh, for sure. Hospitals, they could step up and create clearer protocols and better communication systems, you know, specifically for emergencies.
So like a game plan for emergencies so everyone knows their role and who's in charge.
You got it. If everyone knows what they're supposed to do, there's less uncertainty, less hesitation when a crisis hits. Hospitals could lay out exactly when that Good Samaritan Act kicks in and when it doesn't. Train their staff properly on these guidelines and create a culture where people are encouraged to act fast in emergencies and be clear about who's calling the shots.
That sounds pretty practical and effective.
Yeah.
Any other tools in the toolbox we should think about?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about making a special liability insurance just for those Good Samaritan acts that medical professionals do. It could give doctors that extra layer of protection if they choose to help when they're not legally required to.
Interesting. So it's like a safety net for doctors acting with good intentions, you know, who might be a little worried about what could happen legally if something doesn't go as planned.
Exactly. This kind of insurance, it could ease those fears and encourage more doctors to step up and help in tough situations. And To be clear, it's not about letting doctors get away with being negligent. It's about supporting those who go above and beyond to help during a crisis.
It all comes back to that balance we keep talking about, right?
Yeah.
Encouraging action, but also making sure there's accountability.
Exactly. You know, I think this whole debate, this Good Samaritan Act in hospitals, it points to some bigger issues in healthcare. We need to think about medical liability in a more, I don't know, nuanced and compassionate way. Find ways to support both doctors and patients. Build trust and cooperation instead of this whole culture of fear and lawsuits.
Right. It's good to remember that everyone involved, the doctors, the nurses, the administrators, and of course the patients, they all want the same thing, the best possible care. And to get there, we need open communication, clear expectations, and a system that helps everyone who plays a part in that care.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This has been, I think, a really eye-opening deep dive into a part of the law that's super complex and honestly often confusing. For anyone listening who's a medical professional, remember, know the laws in your state, talk to a lawyer, and be clear on your hospital's policies. And for our listeners who are patients, always stand up for yourself, ask questions, and get expert advice if you have any doubts about your care.
We've covered a lot of ground here, and hopefully this episode is giving you a better grasp on this Good Samaritan Act and how it impacts healthcare.
We definitely encourage you to keep learning about these important issues. Knowledge is power, right?
Mm.
And staying informed helps us all deal with those tricky parts of the healthcare system. Thanks for being with us on the Deep Dive.